while we use terms like efficiency savings, personally, I believe that you should use the proper word, cuts, because that's generally what it will manifest itself as. Coming up to election year, I think that we'll see a lot more reference to managing the government headcount, however they want to do that, probably because it's the topic that's going to get votes. Now, I think what it does is cause a lot of unrest amongst members with worry and additional stress. On top of them working long hours, additional hours, and providing public services to the best of their abilities, and they do that very well, to then be told there's a threat potentially that your job may be at risk.
And when a post becomes vacant and isn't refilled to meet a headcount target, what generally happens to the workload? Are your members experiencing an almost creeping increase in responsibilities?
Yes, definitely. 100%. Things are appearing in job descriptions through stealth more than anything, not through negotiation.
We're doing quite a lot of work across the trade union on fatigue management, particularly in areas of risk. So, for example, electricity supply. If there is a storm or a cutout of service, you'll get people working long hours and not perhaps being afforded the opportunity to take the appropriate amount of compensatory rest. And if that builds up over a period of time, that's when you've got the potential for accidents to happen or failures in the system to happen, which is something we're trying to make employers more aware of, and not just for their direct employers, but if they're using contractors, to make sure the contractors are operating under the same kind of regime.
And obviously the government does have a big push into artificial intelligence and kind of digital first services. Does Prospect see headcount reduction as almost a natural evolution, or is the technology being used as an excuse to shrink the workforce before the systems are actually proven to work?
I think AI is going to be a challenging thing across the globe in coming years. So couple of observations. The first one, the amount of energy that it will actually use through data centres is staggering. And I'm not sure that everybody's cottoned on to that fact as yet. Or we don't yet have a clear vision on the impact of AI.
If obviously the government does have a target to meet £50 million worth of savings by 2030. How do you think it would be able to go about doing that without cutting services if headcount was to remain at its current level?
I think that's a very difficult question. I understand the public service provision on this island is very good. And that's been achieved through decisions that have been made over the last 30 or 40 years to keep things in public ownership, and to ensure that you've got a directly employed workforce in the main to undertake those public services that people, I think, on the island value. I think there is a nervousness about some of the pronouncements that are being made, particularly as you move, you know, in the next 12 months to an election. And it's quite easy to say, in very general terms, how savings will be made and what that will mean without necessarily commenting on what the consequences. That nervousness is starting to creep in because of some of the statements that are being made, which are fairly glib, if I'm being honest, and don't talk about the implications of those changes.
And if we look at that nervousness, do you find that that tends to affect workplace morale?
Definitely, yes. And it's already at rock bottom, as it is. So broad statements about controlling government headcount without saying exactly how they want to do that. So it's okay referring to cut the managers. We're top heavy with management. That doesn't help anybody. What would be helpful if they actually say where they've identified savings can be made, if there's going to be cuts, because that's what it is, if they're reducing the government headcount, who exactly and where exactly are they looking at doing that without reducing the service delivery.
Do you think they actually even know where they're going to be doing it, or do you think it's a blanket statement, we'll find it later?
I think it's a blanket statement, which we will see more and more of as we move into an election year, because public perception is there needs to be cuts within the civil service or the traditional civil service.
Prospect recently called the whistleblowing process broken. It called for an independent overseer. Has the government had any thoughts that it's fed back to you on that at all?
No. Although they have set up a committee to look at the whole whistleblowing issues and the processes used. We've got a lot of members who submit concerns through the whistleblowing process and then suffer detriment as a result of doing so. I'm seeing more and more delays to internal processes because the employer is seeking advice from the Attorney General's chambers.
Do you think OHR, the Office of Human Resources, has a conflict when it's managing investigations, because it serves those departments?
Definitely, yes. Yeah. They are there to give advice to both sides. And we very often find that the individuals that are giving that advice somewhere along the line have become involved in the issue at some point. So, yeah, there are certainly incidents where I believe members of the OHR team are potentially conflicted in the process and the outcomes.
I'll come to yourself, Jez. What's your perception of some of the problems that the island is facing? I mean, we're hearing, obviously, the public sector headcount, the AI drives, the whistleblowing process, like you just heard, and what seems to be an uphill battle with the Public Services Commission in many respects.
I think one of the challenges that the island is going to face is going to be on energy provision. Given the move towards net zero, the challenges that that's going to give to the island, the increased demand for electricity, the move away from fossil fuels. And I think the government's going to have to find a solution that suits the whole island, which I accept is not going to be an easy route and it's not going to be without difficulty. But we've experienced change over the last, more change probably over the last 50 years than we have at any time during history. And I accept that some don't like change and some find that change challenging. But there has to be a solution for the island in order that it can meet its power demand into the future as we move towards those net zero targets.
What would you say the relationship Prospect has with the government, the PSC at the moment?
Generally good across the board. But there are issues, specific issues, where the relationship isn't as good as it could be. In terms of the decision-making processes and the decisions that come out and that are being made. But on the whole, good, as I say, but there are specific areas where they need to improve, one of which is around the implementation and use of the whistleblowing policy.
So do you think that the government views Prospect and perhaps unions as a whole as a, like, legitimate stakeholders, or is there a perception that they're obstacles?
Probably the answer to that is both. Depends who you ask. Right. So I like to think that I've got pretty good relationships across government and across departments and with individuals. But I couldn't say that all of the time. It's depending on what we're discussing and what the issue is. But generally, yes, good relationships.
So is there any kind of anti-union sentiment? Obviously, in the UK, they've just introduced a bill which would effectively give employees more rights in terms of them being told that they have that they can join a union. Do you think that there'll be anything here?
I would hope so. We see the Employment Rights Bill as a real positive. It basically undoes some legislation that we have felt was unhelpful. It gives people the right, for example, to claim unfair dismissal after 6 months, where historically it's been 2 years. Mm. To be honest, if you can't work out, you know, that there's an issue with an employee within 6 months, then that's a question for management to answer. 2 years was far too long. It was increased from 1 year some years ago to give increased protection to managers. But I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all. I think we have to look on the fact that the trade unions have got a constituency, their membership, and management have got a constituency, their shareholders or senior civil servants who are behind them. And both parties are trying to satisfy those constituencies. The relationship in the room, as it were, between the management representatives and the trade union representatives has to be conciliatory and has to be productive, if at all possible, because both parties are trying to reach an agreement that everyone can live with. Where it gets difficult is the constituencies that they represent may have a difficulty with the outcome. Either party could have a difficulty with the outcome, and that's where you may get to a level of conflict. But the aim in the room is to try and reach agreement that people can live with, recognising the cost of living challenge that is facing trade union members and working people across the island, but also recognising the financial position that the island finds itself, that the Tynwald finds itself in, in terms of funding and trying to do the right thing by the people of the island. And you can't have an imbalance to that where everything goes one way and nothing goes the other. You're trying to find an equilibrium that might not be perfect for either party, but it's tolerable for both parties.
I'll pick up on that. You said there has to be an equilibrium and a balance. It can't go one way. What would you say to some people who might say, well, unions actually are more powerful, they almost have too much power because they can do industrial action, which the employer can't necessarily stage industrial action?
Industrial action represents failure. So I've been doing this job for 30 years. I've taken one group of members out for one day in 30 years. Because when my kids ask me what I do for a living, I do deals. Mm. We get to a position where we're okay with the proposal. So, yes, we have industrial muscle. But if you use that on a consistent basis, you're actually costing your own members money, because they don't get paid when they don't go to work. So the aim of the exercise is to try and get to a position that your membership can live with, but also you want to get the best deal possible. And management's first offer on a pay deal is seldom as far as they can go. So yeah, there's a bit of nudge, there's a bit of push on that, and that's fair enough. If they came in on day one and said, this is the best offer, there is no more money, and then that's fine. But they're going into a negotiation as well as us. It's not a one-way street. So we go in there and try and keep our members whole in terms of, you know, protecting them against inflation. But if they're content with the offer, and we cover largely public sector employees on the island, if they're content with the offer, they're more likely to be content with the job that they're doing, which is running a fire service, running a police, running the civil service, doing all the good things that keep the island ticking over with the high level of public services that it's got. So that's our aim. I don't want to take people out on strike, never have. It's hard work. doing that. It's hard work keeping people motivated to keep turning up in the beautiful weather that you sometimes experience on the island, stood on a picket line. Mm. I would sooner negotiate with an employer to an amicable settlement that I can put to our members, or Mick can put to his members, that they go, okay, it's not perfect, but that'll do. And we'll see you again next year.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.